For some better news on the Ebola front, let's turn to neighboring Liberia. The good news there is that Liberia has just had a full week without any new Ebola infections. But even as the situation appears to be improving, a new problem has emerged. What to do with the thousands of tons of Ebola-infected sewage still being stored at treatment centers? My colleague, the BBC's Mark Doyle, is in Liberia, and he's been trying to find out what officials are planning to do with all that sewage.
I'm not sure, actually, that anybody knows for certain, but the Liberian Water and Sewage Corporation boss, a guy called Frankie Castle, said that they have capacity in a big holding tank, which they've got, which is an old sewage works. They have capacity for 2 million gallons of Ebola poo, not to put too fine a language on it, because that's what it is, and that's what they're going to be transferring from the various treatment centres to one place where it will be, they say, held safely.
And what does Monrovia's sewage plant look like? Does it instill confidence?
Not a huge amount of confidence in terms of what it looks like, but the people who are running it, I think, are good people. This, of course, is a completely unprecedented situation anywhere in the world, so international help is required. Organizations like the World Health Organization are helping with like medical and testing kits, telling them how long this poo will be dangerous for. Everyone thinks that Ebola poo only remains dangerous, as it were, for 7 days. That's the guess. But like everything in this unprecedented outbreak, no one can be certain. And so they want to store it all in one place and try and keep it safe. But I have to say there are vegetable fields around this place. So I hope it doesn't seep into the ground. And of course, with the best will in the world, even if you control the people with a fence, albeit a relatively flimsy fence, there are still animals, and no one quite knows whether animals might be able to pick this stuff up, and then birds might fly, or geckos or lizards might move around on the ground.
Yeah, seems like a lot of windows of opportunity for this thing to spread. So you've got to move these big plastic tanks filled with this Ebola poo. How do the people of Monrovia feel about that? Aren't people talking about, you know, the possibility of one of these trucks crashing if they do get it transported or leaking?
Well, I'm sure people are worried about every aspect of this business. In fact, I can tell you that just a few days ago, the first transfer actually did take place. It did take place somewhere in Monrovia to this treatment center. And so the Ebola poo gets transferred into a big tankers, and then the tankers roll through town, and the idea is that they're not allowed to stop, because there might be some danger if they were to stop. So they go through town, they go to the depot, and that's where it's offloaded and put into this huge tank. Now, there will be safety teams on standby, as it were, in case anything happens to any of the lorries. But certainly the lorry that I saw was a spanking new International Committee of Red Cross tanker, which didn't look like it was likely to break down. There was some debate about whether they should have sirens and police cars accompanying these tankers and so on. But I think on the whole, they decided that that was probably not a good idea, because that would create more fear and suspicion than just the tanker rolling through Monrovia.
As you describe all this, though, Mark, it strikes me there's some odd parallels with how Japan is trying to figure out what to do with its nuclear waste. I mean, both very risky propositions.
Well, yes, this is in some ways, I suppose, the biological equivalent of nuclear waste being trundled through Monrovia. But it's only almost the biological equivalent, because, as I say, I certainly wouldn't want to create any panic and suggest that this stuff is incredibly, incredibly dangerous. The government and the aid agencies think that it's probably okay, but they're just being double sure by moving it all to one place where they can keep an eye on it.
This problem with the Ebola poo, it's just one of those post-crisis problems. Are there other challenges that you've seen that the West African countries are facing trying to return to normal right now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this crisis really put ordinary life on hold in all three countries, and indeed it's still on hold in many senses. Just take the example of schools, for example. The schools were supposed to reopen about a month ago in Liberia, and in fact I originally went to Liberia to do a story about the reopening of schools. Unfortunately, that was postponed because they decided that they hadn't yet distributed all of the things that they need to the individual schools, including buckets so that the kids can wash their hands in a chlorine solution, thermometers to measure the temperature of the children as they come into school, because if you have a temperature above, say, 38 degrees, then it's considered to be a potential risk. Awareness is certainly very high amongst ordinary people that measuring temperature and keeping an eye on everyone's health is very, very important.
My colleague at the BBC, Mark Doyle, thank you for the update, Mark.
Thank you.